Hi, baby. Thanks for last week. You know, I left a little something extra for you.
End of message. To erase this message, press 7. To save it, press 9.
Hello? Hey, what up, Stank? How you doing, man? Good, yeah? Yeah, no shit? Right on. Yeah, I did. Dude, last week's episode was rad. Yeah, I heard that. That's cool, dude. It's hilarious. I don't mind people knowing material. That's fine. I make good money, man. I make pretty good money. You know, and I don't mind the traveling. I like the traveling. They paid for me to fly first class last time. Yeah. No shit. You're interested in that? You know, it's good additional income. I mean, you know, no, my job, my work doesn't know about it, but that's all right. Yeah, Really? You want to be a gigolo, but with older men? No, that's totally cool, man. I don't care who you want to do. I'm sure old men would definitely pay money for a young stud like yourself. I mean, that's fine. No, I've never been propositioned by an old man. Now, I gotta ask, though. Hold on, I'm cleaning my lab. Let me put you on speaker real quick. Okay, there we go. I gotta ask, why do you want to be a gigolo for older men?
Nothing like a good protein shot in the mouth. Right!
No caps, unlimited long distance.
And it will never end as far as you know?
No, it will never end. It will never
DJ Mollis.
The tone you will hear next will be the standard pitch.
You are listening to Radio Bridge America.
Are giving you permission to change your long distance provider to Quest Long Distance?
Yes.
We're giving you permission to change your local long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance, correct?
Yes.
It's a Quest Unlimited plan of $30 per month for the first 12 months with unlimited residential state-to-state, in-state, and if selected, local toll voice calls within the United States, correct?
Whoa, for the first 12 months?
That's what it tells me.
Hell fucking yeah, back in the studio, back in the lab. Ooh, that was loud, I can see it. Bland, what's up?
Not so much, man. Just chilling.
Isn't it nice that Stank came out on the show? I mean, that's so cool.
You know, it's something that I've known for a long time.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, you know, but I'm really glad he went public with it. You know, that's a really big thing to do, you know?
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, I'm totally down with that, you know? I'm totally down. That's very cool.
Better shut my damn mouth or I'll be next.
I've got lots and lots of recordings of lots of people. I got to start this show. You know what? First of all, by saying, fuck yeah, I'm fucking back. It is so nice. I've been so fucking busy. That's 3 F words in a row, but I have been. I've been so busy. I haven't had a lot of time to, you know, do some hacking and freaking. And it's nice. It's a double-edged sword. It's nice to get away a little bit, you know, to take a break from technology, right? Get away from the black shakes. Just a tad. Just enough. You know, I did a little bit on my travels, but I did take a break, big-time break. I mean, I didn't check email for a week, and that's... Yeah, hey, I live, right? And everybody I know and everybody that sent me email, they live too. So, okay, you don't have to have it. But I did miss messing around with phones and computers and other technology. Definitely jonesing. I haven't got a chance to do it yet since I've been back because I've been so damn busy, but I will. I will continue my research. I will continue the path forward for the community. Dude, this is unbelievable. I received, and I thought it was from you, Bland. You said you were going to send me a box of some stuff. I thought this box was from you, but it wasn't. It was from somebody else. I'm assuming it has a real name and their city and address on there. I didn't get any letter in it or handle or anything. So I actually don't know who it's from. But I got a big box in the mail today, and it's freaking awesome. It's heaven. A box full. It's like Christmas. Christmas in July. I got. It's right here. Hold on. Six! Ow! Shit, I just dropped one on my foot. Six cell phones. Somebody, whoever it is, you rock. If it's a man, it's a woman. I don't know who you are. I think I have your real name and address from the return address. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not sure who it is, handle-wise. Whoever you are, thank you so much. It's heaven. Heaven. 6 awesome old-school cell phones, a couple of Motorola Profile 300s, Motorola PCTs, and Ericsson flip phones, AT&T LX700s. Awesome. I can't wait to screw with these. I got four phone books, 2 from China, 1 from Germany, and a Midwest, what is this? Telecom Midwest Directory. Oh, it is so awesome. 2003-04 edition, current edition, and then the best. Oh, and I got some stickers, some cool stickers, and then the best I got, where is it? Oh, man. I'm telling you, I'm a kid all over again. Here it is. A badass AT&T broadband banner, dude. It's so rad. Honoring those qualities. I'm trying to read it here. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Honoring those qualities that make you a winner. AT&T spirit. Courteous, professional, knowledgeable, innovative, dedicated. AT&T Broadband Customer Service Week. This is not an advertisement. This is an internal banner. That is something they hang up in the building, you know, like those stupid things with the pictures and, you know, motivation, and, you know, and they get those dumb things. That's what this is. That I just realized that. That's not an advertisement. That's not something you hang on the outside of a building to advertise. That is something that goes inside. That is awesome. Whoever sent me this stuff, send me an email, duel@oldschoolfreak.com. You will get an email address. I will burn you CDs, archives of all the shows. You'll get stickers. Rad, dude. I'm so happy. Thank you so much. I'm going to have so much fun with this stuff. I'll take pictures of this stuff. I'll start messing with it. What am I going to do with 6 cell phones? Maybe I can give one of these away to somebody else. I mean, I've got 2 of each. Maybe I can give one and share. Dude, it's so awesome. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough, whoever sent this to me. Again, I think I have the real name, but I don't want to say anything. I don't even want to say the city where it came from or the postmark, the city where the postmark was stamped on it. But thanks a lot. This is just freaking awesome. It is so cool. What else? Did I get anything else? Stickers, phones, phone books. They must have heard one of the shows where I said that I actually collect phone books. Wherever I travel, I'll bring a phone book back, whether it be a white pages or yellow pages, usually yellow pages. Around the nation, and these are world phone books, dude. China, Germany. Hold on. Actually, I got 2. The Chinese. I'm almost positive it's Chinese. I don't know what dialect. Let's see. Beijing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Chinese.
That's definitely China.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, Beijing subway. Yeah, Beijing subway map. There we go. So it's definitely Chinese. Awesome. And there's stuff in English in here, too. Internet cafe.
What's the Chinese country code?
Good question. I don't know. Look, there's a ton of stuff in English. Hold your hold success in your hand. The Hong Kong. Oh, maybe it's from Hong Kong. Hong Kong Trade Development Council. Oh, I can't wait to go through this. I'm going to go through this with a fine-tooth comb. I'm going to pour over this phone book. I love this. Thank you again. Whoever did this, thank you so much. And I'll do whatever I can to share this with everybody. It's just so freaking cool. Isn't that awesome? That is, I guess I'm going to assume here that people really appreciate what we do, and that it means something to everybody. I mean, it means something to me. Not only is it fun, but it means a lot. It means a lot to share things with people and have people share their information with us, you know, and we can give it back again. You know, it's a great, great circle. Actually, I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to divert 1 second. I got an email from, don't tell me I didn't print it out. So I can't print it out now. It's too late. I've already started recording. I didn't. Shit. Oh, well. I'll read it next show. But I did get something else in the mail, an order for Bin Rev, and this is from Swigger, I'm assuming that's how I pronounce it, SW1GGER. To whomever this gets to, enclosed in the envelope is $15 cash. The first five is for the first issue of Bin Rev. The second five is for the second issue. That's the second order, by the way, for the second issue of Bin Rev already. It's not even out. We haven't announced it, and I've already got two orders. The remaining five is simply a pat on the butt for doing such a nice job and allowing me to be a part of this awesome community. If it's too early to... Well, and he goes on, and keep up the good work, and I hope for continued success with the magazine and radio show, Swigger. Swig.net, by the way, is his site. SWIGGED.net. Thank you very much. I'm gonna take that extra five. First of all, it's gonna go to shipping, of course. It's gonna go to postage. But the rest, where's it gonna go? I'll tell you what, the rest, I'll use that for postage as well, and I'll send if somebody wants stickers, let me know. I'll mail some stickers out. Of course, I'll mail swag to whomever sent me this great box, this great care package. You know, it'll definitely go back into the community, I promise. I promise that. So, thanks a lot. So, there, it's obvious, man. If somebody's willing to give us some of their hard-earned money, you know, and we don't ask for money. I don't want money. You know, as Meme says, use what you have. Use the resources that are available to you to subsidize some revolution, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah, to give back to the community. You know, Meme's a great inspiration to me. I've got some emails from her to read this show. And, you know, I take what she says as gospel. So I really, really try to put forth what I have, you know. And time, honestly, everybody, I'm sure everybody is aware of this, time is one of the most valuable things. But I really try to take whatever I have and give back. You know, because everybody's so good to me. So I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate. I'm sure you would agree as well, Blaine.
Definitely.
Wow, the wind's blowing. It's cool outside. It's storming over here. Awesome. I love it. Okay. I tell you what, Blaine. Let's go. Before I go into Meme's emails, we'll say, oh, here's that email. Oh, I've got it. Never mind. Can I read this real quick, Blaine?
Do it.
Before we get to your story? Okay. This is from Ben. This is an awesome email, by the way. Hi, this is a short message conveying thanks for info and insights from listening to archived Radio Freak America shows the past few days. A little background. I hope he doesn't mind me reading this. I don't think so. I was in the Navy for 5 years, serving as a submarine electronics technician. That's hardcore. Among my duties was the administration and maintenance of basically anything having to do with telephone communications. Despite the many negatives of the military experience, this was an ideal job because prior to that time, I had a keen interest in boxes of various colors. Very nice. This weekend, a search on a few subjects led me to the Old School Freak site, and since then, I have been working my way through the archive Radio Freak America shows. I'd like to thank you for helping fuel a renewed interest in unconventional uses of telephones, culture jamming, and probably most immediately important, open source software. Yesterday, I downloaded Nopix and tried it out. I was extremely impressed and plan on using that as my main OS on a few of my machines. Yeah, it makes old Blaine happy. The work I do now involves extensive use of Photoshop files from our designers, and I was initially concerned about the ability to work with these files under Nopix. More searches on available emulators have put those concerns to rest. Very nice. Also, listening to your show has encouraged me to intend the 2600 meeting in my area, right on. I've always been on the periphery of that scene, and over the years I've encountered some pretty amazing people, but never felt comfortable because of worries about my knowledge level. Now I'm content just to listen, learn, and hear great stories. So thank you for an entertaining and informative program that has opened up to me a world of possibilities. Ben, thank you for taking the time to write that email.
Hey, Dool?
Yes.
I'm going to take this opportunity to say that, you know, nobody knows enough.
Yeah, no shit.
If you're intimidated by someone because they know something you don't, that's not the healthy emotion.
No. No, I totally agree.
So, and you try to learn from people, and you share what you know, and nobody knows enough. Nobody knows it all, and that's why we all need each other, you know?
I totally agree. That is, you hit it dead on. That is perfect. Last night, I was listening to Bin Rev Radio, and I was in the forums. Shout out to everybody in the forums. and we were talking about peers, you know. We're all peers. I mean, we are. And I said, I typed something. I typed Shoshin. I believe it's Shoshin. And it's a mindset of always a beginner. Because you're always learning, right? Always. Everybody, even the expert, is learning about something, whether it's technology or not. And I try to keep that mindset, and hopefully other people have that as well. You know, and you're right, Blaine. It's there should be no intimidation, and I really don't think there is any. So number one, Shoshin, right? Always beginner. I hope that's correct. You know, Kuroshi, correct me if I'm wrong. Number two, be freaking friendly. You know, be beyond being accepting. Be friendly, man. If someone says, "Hey, man, what's up?" Yeah, right on. Shake their hand. Have a seat, man. Yeah, we're doing this. We're checking this out, you know? Share. Be friendly, you know? Go out of your way, for crying out loud. People, I think people don't talk enough already. I think people are, like, scared of other people, you know? You know, everybody, all the fear that's injected into people, they're, like, scared to talk to you, or, you know, they don't want interaction, or they just want to be in their own little world, you know, in their car with their cell phone. You know? No, that's totally opposite of what our community is about. That's why we have, that's why we have so much power, but, well, really, I mean, that's, we have a power that, and I don't want to say the sheep, but that's wrong. I see that's the opposite of what I'm trying to say. We do. We have a power in our community that the rest of the world, right, the rest of normal society doesn't have. We've got a common love of technology, common goals of making information free, and helping other people learn about technology.
And we have common hate. I mean, that's, you know, that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, there's, you know what, if you want to call it hate, do you think that's the right term? I'm assuming this is a segue into your story, right?
Well, yeah, yes and no, but I mean, open source software. We love the open source software. But at the same time, it really engenders a hatred for people that would, you know, that would whore themselves out to charge ridiculous amounts of money for product, for software, for code.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think it's... should we be so quick as to say it's hate? Or should we use what we would call hate as a motivating energy to fight such things, to fight such injustices, right?
Call it hate, or, you know, I guess, well, yeah, you're right. More to our point, our kind of usage, I guess you would call it righteous indignation.
Maybe, you know what, maybe that's true. Maybe we are guilty. But I maybe it is hate. I'm not scared of a word, you know, we can use that word. But
I'm just saying, it's not really hate like, you know, the hatred that would cause someone to fucking bomb an abortion clinic.
Right, that's bullshit.
It's not like that. I guess it is. I'm going to retract that. I guess it
No. And that wasn't the point of my comments, by the way. You're right. I mean, hell. I use it all the time. I hate it when, you know, lobbyists... Oh, there's a great quote in Linux. Hold on. I think it's the latest Linux Journal. Let me find it. It's that section. They said that... By the way, Linux Journal rocks. Way better than Linux Magazine. Where is it?
I read Linux Format, by the way, plug.
Yeah, that's a good Mac, too. It's a little expensive.
Yeah.
Bear with me. Yeah, you know. Okay, here it is. They said it, right? They said it. I love this. La, 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 la. Here we go. This is from Texas State Senator John Corona, Democrat, Dallas, to Mario Correa, who represented the Business Software Alliance in opposition to a bill introduced by Corona that would allow Texas to consider acquisition of open source as well as proprietary software. So this just allows the consideration of open source software. Here it is. Again, I don't understand why you all are so threatened by this, but from a careful look at the lobbyists in this room that are representing Microsoft and all of you here representing proprietary software companies, which, let's face it, that's where the big money is. It's not in open source. It's in proprietary. It's rather transparent as to why you all feel so threatened by this language. And I'll tell you this, Bill is innocuous. But next session, I'll be on a crusade. Guess what? I do. I hate that. I hate that these big companies are lobbying, right, or putting money in these legislators' pockets just so they can sell their crappy, insecure software. right? Just saying, yeah, there's stupid GUIs on everybody's desk.
Well, it works. I mean, you know, like we said last show, Microsoft won the $100 million to data mine all of us into extinction, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? And Bland, I think you're right. I do hate that. I hate it. And the only way to take care of that is to keep fighting, to keep pimping open source. All right? Get on my soapbox. I don't care. People got to use it. People got to, they got to realize, man, you want to save money and be secure and be stable? Use open source and learn. Oh my God, you're going to learn something too. If anything, you're just a regular average Joe, a desktop user, right? You're going to learn a new operating system. You're going to, and guess what? It's not that much different. You don't have that much to learn, but you're going to learn something new.
If nothing else, it's marketable.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Dude, how can you not, how, just by pure logic alone, you wouldn't even have to market it if people would just use logic. It's free. It's open source. Right there, two things. It's unbelievable. I cannot fathom it. I mean, just how much money would the federal government save if they drop Microsoft? But they can't because Microsoft makes so much money. They make so much money from government. All right. Let's kind of take that. Let's take this hate. Well, let's go straight into your story, Bland. We got two. They're very similar. Bland's got one. Actually, this is like first-hand knowledge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, bust out.
All right. First of all, I am making my raised index and pinky finger horn segue sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, feed the need.
That's right.
Okay, I don't mind telling the listeners, and I think most everyone probably knows anyway, I am in the greater Dallas metro area. And I guess that this is being used as some sort of testing ground, because I've talked to two people that knew each other, but this happened to both of these people separately. They told me that they were using Cable One, cable internet, as a matter of fact. And they went to get on, and nothing. They were disconnected totally. So they called the cable company, and they're like, hey man, what the fuck? You know, why aren't we on the internet? And they said, oh, well, you've been kicked off. So, you know, a day or two later, they get a, you know, certified mail letter from their cable company and from a certain video studio.
Really?
And the certain video studio had contacted their cable internet provider saying that, requesting that they be removed from internet services because they had illegally downloaded a film.
No way.
It had, in this letter, it had what movie it was that was downloaded. It had what, you know, I think what time either it started or completed downloading. And it also it had the service, like Morpheus, Kazaa, whatever. And it had the folder on their box the video was stored at currently.
You're shitting me.
I know.
Can you get a copy of that?
I'm going to try real hard.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
And at first, I tried to call bullshit. I was like, no. Right. You know who I am, and you're fucking doing that to me.
Yeah.
That would make such great radio.
It would, actually.
But no. The conditions, this video studio was willing to not pursue the matter any farther if the person would sign. I think it had to be notarized. I'm not real sure, but I would think it would have to be notarized. A notarized form saying that they had deleted that illegal file off their computer, and mail one copy to their internet provider, and mail another copy to that studio.
Son of a bitch! Now, did your friend do that?
My friend did that, and my friend is back on the internet today.
Oh my God.
Now, what I said, what I would do, just because Bland likes to stir the shit.
Yep.
Bland would have went down to a retail store and bought the DVD of the movie I had downloaded. Then I would have called the studio and told them to stick it in their ass.
Yeah.
Because I have the right to fair use, and I am allowed one copy, you know, one reproduction of anything that I own. It's fair use, and they haven't taken that away from us fully yet.
Yet.
So maybe I don't have the equipment, the time, or even the fucking inclination to rip that DVD. And I wanted to get on the internet, and I downloaded it, and I'm legal to do that, and if you don't get off my case, you know, harassment charges are going to come up. And just to see what happens. But
that'd be nice.
I'd like to see what happens if you called their bluff.
Right, because that's exactly what it is. It's a scare tactic. They're basically strong-arming the internet service provider with this letter, right? I mean, and is that kind of information, you know, the file downloaded, the folder, the IP address, is that admissible? I mean, all of that is easily spoofable. I mean, prove that you in a controlled environment, you know, retrieve that information legally. Is that legal, first of all? I mean, getting that information?
It is now.
Well, yeah, I guess so, because if you're, they're on peer-to-peer, and that you're giving that information out, so that's, I guess that would be no problem. But is that information, like, admissible in court? I don't know. I'm very ignorant in computer, is this even computer crime? You even said that. You said, I was thinking about that, you said illegal file. I was like, God, isn't that crazy? Illegal file. Isn't that absurd? That is the most absurd phrase I think I've ever heard. Illegal file. You know, what if it was a text file, right?
What if it was this MP3?
Yeah, no shit. No fucking shit. So basically, this, and did you say the name of the film company?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Do you not want to?
No.
Okay. So that film company basically strong-arming that ISP, scaring them, basically.
Fuck it, it was Universal.
All right, there we go. Universal. Universal. Give them a call, everybody. Assholes. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I want a copy of that, if you can get it. I know, you know, that's... That's got to be disturbing, you know? That's got to be a little upsetting. You know, I'm going to read my story, too. And you know what, okay. You know what, I'm just going to go to this, and then I'll get the ranting on. This is from, it's actually from Slashdot. Everybody heard about the subpoenas, right? That the RIAA was giving to, fuck, colleges of all people. This states, BC and MIT, Boston College and Massachusetts Institute of Technology, declined to name students in music use case. Boston College and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, citing concerns about student privacy, moved yesterday to quash subpoenas issued by the recording industry to discover the identities of students the industry says are illegally distributing copyrighted music using peer-to-peer file sharing, right? Oh my gosh. The moves represent one of the first major obstacles for the recording industry in its campaign against ordinary computer users who share copyrighted music. Jonathan Lamy, a spokesman for the Recording Industry Association of America, said he was disappointed and vowed legal action to obtain the information. These universities have chosen to litigate this in an attempt to deny copyright holders the rights so clearly granted in Congress, Lamy said, referring to the college's refusal to release the names of the students, college students, poor college students. MIT and Boston College yesterday said that they support the rights of copyright holders and would comply with any subpoena that addressed their concerns about the proper notification of students and was filed properly in U.S. District Court in Massachusetts, not in Washington, D.C. The RIAA had filed at least 871 subpoenas in U.S. District Court in Washington this month, demanding information from universities and internet service providers about users of the internet file sharing network Kazaa. MIT and BC said they are required under the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act to notify students before they release personal information such as names and addresses. MIT, of course, has a policy of complying with lawfully issued subpoenas, the school's information services director, James Bruce, said in an email statement. But Bruce said that MIT had been advised by counsel that the subpoena that the subpoena was not in compliance with court rules concerning the proper venue for such a filing and did not allow MIT time to send any notice as the law requires. Now, and please, bear with me. I'm going to read this. This is good shit, and I'm going to comment. Maybe I'll start commenting while I read. The recording industry strategy, pursuing both high-profile users with hundreds of megabytes of music as well as small-time downloaders, is intended as a wake-up call to internet music enthusiasts like Alexa Bedell Healy, a Wellesley College sophomore who downloads a fair number of songs from a dorm room computer. But like many students on college campuses in Boston, yesterday, the 19-year-old said she's going to keep downloading. I would definitely have to know someone who got one of the subpoenas, said Bedell Healy, who lives in... I'm giving out all this information about this poor girl. No, definitely not going to stop until I know. Okay, I'm gonna stop there. Here's the thing, right? Hold on one second. Okay, Verizon's fighting it. We all know about that. Okay, here we go. I'll read the last paragraph, and then I'll comment. Under a provision of the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act, passed by Congress to combat music piracy, music companies may issue the subpoenas without a judge's approval.
Jesus.
Yes. Verizon has challenged the aspect of the law, saying it violates users' rights to due process and privacy. A judge ruled in January, however, that subpoenas do not require a judge's signature. Verizon again appealed.
Oh, hold on. Are you fucking telling me that a corporation can say, well, Bland has heard If I Only Had a Brain enough times?
Yeah, exactly.
You're just going to fucking go to his house. I mean, they don't need a judge. They don't need any sort of... They don't need the legal system's backing at all.
From what I know, they can get a lawyer to write up a subpoena, right, and mail it to you. And that's it. That's all they have to do. No judge is needed under the DMCA. So the DMCA, of course, is these, you know, the consortiums of these corporations coming together and paying off the government and making sure they get their laws so they don't have to adapt the technology, right? That's the DMCA. But to go after, and we've talked about this before, I think, you know, to go after starving freaking college students, and they are, by the way, college doesn't pay very well.
Yeah, no shit.
Okay? It does not. Right? And the jobs you get while you're working in college, you usually don't pay very well, right? And it's very difficult to go full-time. It is. To go full-time to college to get a degree, right, to enrich yourself, to increase your human capital, and to hold a job. It's very difficult. So they're going after. They're sending these subpoenas to these starving college students who don't want to pay $20 for your price-fixed fucking CDs that are a bunch of shit. One fucking hit that's crammed down their throats on Clear Channel radio stations and MTV networks. Instead, they want to download a song here or there, maybe an album. Maybe they're trying it out. Maybe they actually own the CD and they want a digital copy for their iPod or something. Who knows? These starving students don't want to pay your fucking outrageous prices for your plastic-wrapped shit and your shrink-wrap licenses. So what are they going to do? They're going to share. They're going to use technology. They're going to enjoy the music they like. I bet you a lot of them, right? College is where you're experimenting, you're learning new things, you're exploring new music. They're probably getting a lot. They're probably using those peer-to-peer networks to get a lot of music that they can't find on an RIAA label. So, the RIAA, again, sending out these pieces of shit paper to these poor students, you know, to get, well, basically to set precedents, and screw them and screw you and screw everybody who wants to use technology in a different way. This is a bunch of shit. This is a total crock of shit. You know, this SEO, it's unbelievable. If you want to say my feelings are so strong as to be called hate, then that's fine, because this is so wrong on so many levels. If there's a ring, right, a group of people pressing CDs, right? Or burning, you know, they got massive towers of burners, right? And laser copied CD covers, selling them on the streets or shipping them to Canada, who knows, whatever they're doing, right? That's piracy and that's wrong, okay? But a freaking college student sharing some music, maybe digging something that he or she finds, and maybe even buying the CD, I don't see the problem. I don't see it. I don't see where they're losing millions and billions of dollars.
Hey, you know? Duel?
Yes.
Hey, we've come full circle now. Now you're talking about hate, and I'm going to start talking about love.
Do it.
I just want to tell everybody how fucking cool Verizon is.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, and MIT, of course, they've always been cool. You know, Boston College, they beat Notre Dame at football once. there are people who get it. There are people who know. And Verizon knows. You know, Verizon knows that you can't just fucking photocopy a subpoena with insert pirate's name here, you know?
Right.
You can't do that. It's just morally reprehensible, man. It goes beyond being illegal, which it should be. You know, Verizon has the nuts to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to play by those rules. You know, you don't get everybody's IP. You know, you don't get everyone's name and address just because you think they might have downloaded a song or two.
Right.
And, you know, MIT, that's awesome. You know, everyone, I'm glad to see that there are people that are fighting. I'm glad to see that people are fighting the good fight, that people actually get it, and that they are working to stop this however they can. Whatever people can do to help stop this, and, you know, it just so happens that we have a couple of major universities and a very large phone and internet provider on our side as well.
Yeah, very large. And I have to admit, I'm guilty of a little pessimism. I thought there was some type of monetary reason that Verizon was doing this. I'm going to take it at face value and say the same thing you are, Bland, that they're doing the right thing, and I'm, you know, major props to Verizon. And, of course, MIT and BC. There are other colleges that complied instantly, Northeastern and Loyola University Chicago. They said they'd comply. Check this out. One subpoena was sent to somebody who had downloaded at least five songs. Five whopping whole songs. It's unbelievable. You know? Are they going to send me? I'm going to record some songs off the radio on a cassette tape and then give it to my friend. That's right. Come get me. Send me your subpoena. What the fuck? What is the damn difference? What about SneakerNet, man? I'll burn some CDs. I'll burn a bunch of CDs. You know what? I'm going to videotape that. I'm going to videotape me burning a CD. I'm going to go buy some innocuous, annoying CD like Britney Spears, or I don't know, I can't name another popular piece of shit artist that they pimp so much, you know, that also does Pepsi commercials. But I'm gonna go buy one of those CDs, and I'm gonna burn a copy, and I'm gonna videotape me doing it. I'm gonna videotape me taking it to, I don't know, somebody, a friend, somebody, and giving it to them. Ooh. Am I gonna be a pirate then? Are they gonna get me? I just don't understand it. I don't understand the logic. There is no logic. It's just this... It's like a wacky obsession. You know? If they... Can they not move on? You know? Can they not develop something? Can they not... I mean, didn't Apple... I think Apple's doing the right freaking thing, man. 99 cents a song? How popular was that? Weren't there like millions of songs downloaded in the first week or month or something like that?
I want to say it was like... I want to say it was a million songs that first weekend.
The first weekend. That pure genius, pure freaking genius. They make good-looking hardware, powerful hardware. If I'm correct,
hardware.
Yeah, very powerful hardware. You know, the iPod. That's an amazing piece of technology.
And then this operating system.
Yeah, freaking rad-ass mock kernel. Yeah, open source. Dude, I mean, how can you know this one group have everything they need to move on? You know. To further mankind and his endeavors, but this giant corporation with their hand on the nuts of legislators can't do a damn thing with it. All they can do is pay people to hop on peer-to-peer file sharing networks and hunt down poor kids. What a bunch of shit, dude. What a bunch of shit. Think of that. A gigantic corporation going after a poor fucking college student.
That's just fucking bullying.
That is so it is. God damn, that's like fucking... That's like... That is crime. That should be criminal.
Well, I think it was... I don't know if you listened to it or not, but the DCSS panel at H2K2... Now, I got the audio for it. I wasn't there. But Emmanuel was talking about how absurd it was that this DCSS program was being debated, you know, hotly in court. And it's not a tool for piracy. It's a tool to be able to watch DVDs on Linux.
Right.
Meanwhile, to get to and from the fucking courthouse, they had to pass 5 people that were selling zero-day movies.
Yeah.
And Manny was like, what about those fucking guys outside?
No shit.
And, you know, the lawyers were like, well, that's not the issue here. What is the fucking issue
That's exactly the issue. Oh my god. It's just so wrong. It's so blatantly wrong. I can almost get frustrated with it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to do something about it. I don't know what yet, honestly. Originally I was going to set up the archive server. If anybody remembers, not too long ago, we had the Old School Freak Archives. Lots and lots of alternative media up, you know, for everybody to download. And that was my way to combat this shit, is to get the message out, right? To get this alternative media out to people. There's so much of it now. There's so much more. I'm so happy. We're going to talk about some of it, too, in a little bit. And not to mention, it was cost me a bunch of money. I had to stop it. I had to shut that down. But I want to do something now. I'm really, after reading this, and your story, Blaine, as well, has given me even more drive. But really, after reading this story, I got a slash dot. It angered me. It motivated me. I want to do something. You know, honestly, you know what I want to do? I want to put a box in the DMZ and set up Kazaa and start sharing shit. I really do. Everybody share as much as you can now. This pisses me off. Do is fucking share everything. Everything. Fuck them. Come get us all. You want to... Fuck. You think it's that bad? You want to play some fucking hardball? That's it. We're going to fucking share everything we got. I might do that. I might build a box just for that. I'll take every... Not the shit that I like the stuff from Metropolis. I hope they're not part of the RAA. You know, the stuff like Stromkern and, Funkerbot, all those, the smaller labels, the stuff that's not pimped on the Clear Channel, right? That stuff I wouldn't share, right? Because I enjoy that so much. You know, I heard that actually on the internet and bought the CDs. Share all the other shit, right? Share it. I don't care. I don't feel sorry for the artist now. I'm sorry. It's past that. There's got to be something I can do. I don't know what. Of course, I can go to digitalrights.org. Everybody should go there. Read. Be educated. Be knowledgeable. Share the knowledge that you've gained from places like Radio Freak America, digitalrights.org. Share it with people. People who probably don't care. Guess what? They're going to listen to it anyways. Something's got to be done. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd. I feel sorry for all those people. I mean, how shitty is that to get some legal freaking notice and you're in college? It should be fun, right?
I wonder what the penalties are going to be, for real.
Know. Well, that one dude didn't get stuck with, like, writing that software. He got stuck for $12,000. Like, all of his savings, gone. Poof. Because he was ingenious and wrote some ingenious code.
That's different. I mean, like...
What do you mean?
I'm talking about Bland, that sharing Beethoven's Fifth, which is in the public domain.
Yes.
No one owns this music. But yet, if I share it, and I get a letter from the, if I get subpoenaed, what's my penalty?
Good question. Now, I don't think there would be a penalty, because there's no copyright holder for that music.
Well, I mean, but what about these other guys that are sharing, you know, fucking Aerosmith, and they get a subpoena? What's going to happen to them?
Dad, I don't know. And this goes back to your friend with the letter. I mean, is that information, I mean, is that all just scare tactics? Is it all just strong-arm tactics? I mean, can they actually take this stuff? I've got an IP and a song and a folder and take it and, you know, and a screen name and bust somebody for it? I mean, somebody else, for all we know, they were public computers. I think one of them was a public computer. I'm not sure. You know, it could have been a public computer. Could have been a hijacked computer, right? Could have been a friend. I don't know. Yeah, it's. I don't know what the penalties are. I don't know how you know legally binding these things are. I don't know. You know, this goes back to
bullshit.
It is. It was definitely bullshit. It goes back to Bernie S. saying everybody should be an amateur lawyer. Yeah. Well, sorry for the ranting, everybody, but just this real. You know, I haven't been something. I haven't been this upset in a long time. You know, one of the, and I'll share this with everybody. I was listening to old Off the Hooks, right? Old episodes of Off the Hook. And there was one with Bernie S., and he was talking about his ordeal in prison. I think he might have been in prison at the time, talking about where he went to the really rough, he got sent to the really rough prison and basically was beaten, right? You know, arm broken, kicked in the face, stuff like that. And I was listening to that. I don't care if you say I'm a wimp, whatever. I don't give a fuck. It was making me ill. I mean, it was making me so upset, you know, that such injustice was occurring, you know, that such physical damage and pain for no reason was being caused to this innocent person, that it was, I was becoming ill, and I had to turn it off. I didn't get that upset this time, but I did get fairly upset. You know, I wonder about the legal system in this country that, you know, people can harass other people, you know, to the point of, you know, physically harming them. You know, if you've just got some money, you can crush somebody's life, you can harass them, you know, and it's all perfectly legal. We've got the lawyers and money to do it, we can do it. So, and that upsets me. And this upset me as well, so. Let's talk about some, on that happy note, you know. Let's talk about, I want to talk about Sean Kay's TV show. You know what, I'm going to, again, I've been so busy. I haven't had time to mess around with a lot of tech. I've just been wanting to just kick it. Oh, memes, emails, damn it, I got to get to those. Let me talk about these real quick, because this is very important stuff. I'll just do this one now. I'm going to save this other one. She talked about some new technology in the PHX, and I'm going to be going there soon, and I will... I'll check out there. So I'll read the email and then I'll talk about the technology after I research it. So I'm going to save one, but this one I'm going to talk about now. This is unbelievable here. Duel, I've been following the subject of election fraud for some time now. I'm not sure if you knew this, but Senator Chuck Hagel actually owns the company that makes the damn voting machines. But wait, there's more. A lady named Bev Harris, who runs a website called blackboxvoting.com, check it out. Just to get your attention, this crap is based on some lame Windows technology with security defeated. I guess SQL and Linux are not politically correct when it comes to something as secure as counting votes. No freaking shit. Even someone as evil as Larry Ellison is now low enough to be in on this, but I'm sure that something stinks in Redmond. Anywho, check this link, and again, it's blackboxvoting.com. There's actually an article there. Just go check out that site. They're asking others to look at the source code and see for themselves. Also, try to check out the rest of the site when you get a chance. And then she goes into the Telecommunications Reform Act of 96. Oh, about, yeah, she goes into extremely low frequency damage from all the antennas they get to put up everywhere, wherever they want. Unbelievable stuff. So, yeah, voting fraud. Actually, I think there was an article in 2600 recently about voter fraud. These new electronic voting machines, it's a very hot issue. I will be checking out blackboxvoting.com and researching this as much as I can. I actually can't wait to use one of these machines. I think Stank did already, if I'm correct. Is that correct, Lance?
Yeah, I remember him talking about it.
Yeah, so, and if they, you know what, and this is, honestly, all this does is corroborate what we've been talking about. Microsoft and all these, you know, all these people just in bed with each other, right? The big companies in bed with the people making the laws. So thank you, Meme, very much. And I'm going to save the other email she sent me so I can actually get some hands-on research. So I'll read you that email and then give you what I found out. So that'll actually be very cool. Hopefully I'll get a lot of information and make a good good big segment out of it. I was saying that I've been very busy. I just wanted to kick it lately, you know? I just want to relax. Watch some good freaking anime. Watch something good, you know? I don't like broadcast TV. I don't like radio. I like, you know, as alternative media as it can get, really. First is Sean Kay's show. Sean Kay had his first TV show this last Monday. 21st, and I honestly was a little skeptical, you know. I didn't know, man, I mean, how fun can that be, you know? I didn't know about that. It's that the Winamp video streaming. I was wondering how the picture quality is going to be, you know. I don't want to see this, you know, this jumpy, blocky, blotchy picture of Sean talking, you know. That would suck. Boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I surprised, and boy, was it good. I loved it. It was so much fun. That watching that little 3-inch square window blew the shit out of anything you'll find on broadcast television. It was so good. It was enjoyable watching him and Sim talk and go back and forth, listening to the news stories, watching him read the news stories. The set was cool. I mean, you know, with the camo netting and the sandbags, I dug it. I had a great feel. There was a live audience, a good-sized live audience, and they laughed. It was great. I mean, he had an awesome guest. And I can't remember his name, and I'm sorry I can't. He was awesome. He's an 82-year-old gentleman who just knew his shit, you know, wired into technology. He was awesome, just done amazing things. It was a great show. I mean, great viewpoints, great alternative media. I hope everybody tunes in and watches Sean Kay's show. Very good stuff. Did you get to see it?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it.
I hope honestly, I don't remember if they're going to be available for download. I hope they will be. If they will, I don't know what kind of file size or compression, you know, I don't even know what kind of file format it's going to be in, but if it is, I'll let everybody know. Next, a few things. Now, actually, well, I don't know. I dig anime a lot. You know, I've been watching it for a long time. Ever since 88 or 89, when a friend of mine had a bootleg copy of Akira, right? That was the only way to get anime back then. I mean, I think there were half-hour videotapes for like $40.
Damn.
Yeah, that's when I started digging it. You know, it was like you got one episode of Guyver, right, for $40. It was just prohibitive. But he had a fan sub, I'm assuming, of Akira, and it just blew my mind. Right, I went nuts, and I've loved it ever since. I haven't been into it lately though. You know, I've just I don't know if I've changed, I've adapted, I've grown. Hopefully, I've become more mature in my viewing habits. But on Cartoon Network, I know it's broadcast TV, this is a term, you know, station, whatever, they started playing a series called Cyborg 009. Originally, it was a manga from the 60s or 70s, 60s, I believe. And I've never heard of it, really. I've never really seen it. But when I saw this series, it blew me away. It's like nothing you're going to see on any other channel. That's what I watch. I turn on, I watch that, and that's it. It is so good, though. I try to make time to do it, and I have been lately. And it's really been kind of fun because it's such a good story. I love that old-school style, and it's actually animated, right? There's actually movement, you know. A lot of new anime is not very animated at all. This is. It's just great, you know. And it's not a fighting tournament, you know, like every piece of anime you see now is something's a fighting tournament, right? Fuck that shit. This is awesome. So Cyborg 009, that is worth turning on broadcast TV for. And then finally, and this actually made it to the big screen, I didn't get a chance to see it, and I know a lot of people in the community dig this, and that's Cowboy Bebop. The movie is out on DVD, and I bought it, and I watched it, and it's great. It's so good. Actually, MC had a copy of it quite a while ago, and we watched it. Props to MC. And I actually watched it last night, and I enjoyed myself. I actually relaxed, shut down the mind a little bit, and watched some good anime. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, everybody. You can take a break. You can take a break from technology. You can take a break from your email. Do it. Even if it's work email. I didn't check my work email for a week. And guess what? Everything was fine. Everybody... It's mute. Sorry, mute. Everybody lived. Everything got done. It's amazing. It's amazing. You will not die without email. You want to make some phone calls?
Fuck yeah.
All right. It's been a long freaking time since I made a phone call. Okay. I have... during my travels, I collected a few phone numbers. But I didn't write down what... There too. Yeah, big time Woot. I don't know. They're just phone numbers. I didn't write down what they were, so I don't remember. So let's just go down the list. I have.
Hey, Duel?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. One caveat here.
Please.
I have a. Okay. I have a interesting relationship with anime.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I only watch anime because I only really, really like the incredibly mind-blowingly good shit. And so I only watch anime that's been recommended by at least three people before I watch it. And so that way my anime collection is just, like, incredibly sweet.
Yes.
What is, you mentioned a word, and I've seen it a lot, that manga?
That's Japanese comics.
Okay.
Yeah. In Japan, of course, you can get, and actually they're coming to the States now. I think Jump is publishes a book now. You can buy manga, right? Big, like, phone book size stuff, or maybe not as thick, but, you know, on cheap newsprint for a good price, I believe. And you just get lots of stories and lots of different series in one big book, right? You could find the, you know, imports around for quite a while, and I think now they're just translating them to English and bringing them over here, even printing them the right way, you know, the right way to read them. Great stuff. I actually enjoy Japanese comics a lot more. Battle Angel Alita, which I believe is Gundam Dream, one of the best. Not the recent Rollerball black and white shit. Well, they're all black and white, but the real black stuff. But that's a very good comic. There's a current series out now. Enjoy that a lot. You know, some of it's gory. A lot of it, the style, I've actually, where was it? Did I read or hear about, like, the style and how they draw things? You know, the big eyes. They don't enumerate all the features that American comics do. American comics, you know, every little feature is drawn in and shaded and lines and bulges and, right? It's not like that in Japanese comics. They leave it to your mind, right? Even the facial characteristics sometimes are much more simple than American comics. You know, they don't have all the detail because they want the reader, right, to get their own feeling out of the comic, to really get the story in their head and to make up their own story in their head with the pages of the comic. It's a great style. You know, if you read them, if you check out some Japanese comics, you'll see what I mean. You'll definitely see what I mean. You don't need all that stuff. You know, motion is done very well in Japanese comics. It's great. Great stuff. Highly recommended. That's good reading. Comics are good reading. Don't let anybody say, oh, you're a kid, you're a dumbass. No. Comics are good shit. Actually, hold on. Boy, we're really going off here, but I don't care. This is more of a fun episode. This is actually a very little tech this episode, but that's okay. Balance, my friend. I got a comic. I've been really digging, I've been digging some American comics lately, but kind of, underground or alternative comics. I got this one called Channel Zero, Jenny One, and it's all about this girl who's in New York, and she slowly and surely gets deeper into the militant underground of New York, you know, fighting the cops, and it's great, and it starts with her, and shows her with one tattoo on her arm, and as she goes along and gets deeper into it, she gets more and more tattoos until finally, you know, she's got sleeves and her face is covered with tattoos. It's awesome. Great book. Again, Channel Zero, Jenny One, very good stuff. By Brian Wood and Becky Cloonan. Very good reading. So don't let anybody tell you that comics aren't literature. It is. That's some deep shit right there. You know, some big, it deals with big issues. And a lot of them do, if you look in the right places. We've got like 5 minutes for phone calls. You still up for it?
Hell yeah.
All right, here we go. You want to do a PWF call?
Yep.
Shouts, everybody, sending in the PWF info. It's blowing up. We've got some good stuff. A lot of numbers. We're going to call it. PWF, by the way, is Project Walmart Freedom. We're going to call one right now. I'll call a local one. Let's see what happens. Oh, which one is which? Okay, hold on. Be right back. Somebody's got to pick up. Okay, maybe that's the one in the layaway. Let me call the one up front.
Michelle, Discord Service, what's your pleasure?
Yes, hi Michelle. I was wondering if you do snowball, spamming, or shrimping, because I'm a really kinky guy, and I'm into that kind of stuff. Michelle, don't hang up, Michelle. Actually, you're on a radio show, Michelle. You're on a, and this is a Hacker Freak radio show, And did I call a Walmart?
You called the payphone at Walmart.
I thought payphone. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you're a very good sport, Michelle. Thank you very much. You want to say now? What do you think? What do you think of hackers? Freaks or people who like phone the phone system and like to mess with the phone system and know it in and out? What do you think of hackers and phone freaks?
I don't think much about.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You're on a radio show right now. You can go to oldschoolfreak.com. It's called Radio Freak America. So okay, well. Thank you very much for your time. And are you hot, by the way?
I don't know.
I bet you are. I bet you. You sound beautiful.
All right.
You sound beautiful. And if I wanted an escort, I would ask you.
Oh.
This is, by the way, I'm Duel, and this is Bland Inquisitor.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Good. So, now I'm pretty hot, personally. You can see videos of me. I think I'm hot. I'm actually a gigolo on the side.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
My name's not really Michelle.
What's that?
My name's not really Michelle.
Well, I would hope not,
Julie,
because we're going to be broadcasting this to a bunch of hackers and freaks. So, yeah, so if your name was Michelle and you were an escort. Now, of course, we're talking about escort in the most purest
of
senses.
Yes.
Right, right. Nothing, sexual or kinky in the least.
No, not at all.
Okay, good, because I wouldn't want to have to explain what a rusty trombone is to you.
Okay.
Or definitely spamming your finger. Well, thank you for your time, Michelle.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Score!
Cool?
Yeah.
Certainly put a bulge in my onion sack. I don't know about her.
I'm glad I could entertain you, Bland. That was a very good phone call. That one paid off. Michelle's escort service. That was very elite of her.
Yeah.
That was very elite of her. Okay, let's. I got a couple others. Actually, I think I know what this number is. Again, I gathered four numbers. I have other info, but I don't want to divulge it. I've got five numbers. And one I actually do know what it is because it's pretty obvious. 800-781-LEGS. You know, I never got that. I never got that whole feet fetish thing, you know? Never understood it. Let's call it up and see what happens. Hold on. LEGS.
Did I catch you peeking at my skirt? Like what you saw? Oh, white panties so wet. You can just barely see through them.
Ooh.
You want some?
Then enter your ID code now.
If you don't have one, don't worry, baby. Stay right where you are.
Ooh.
If you're into beautiful, sexy legs, then let's talk live.
One-on-one.
Or listen to samples from other long-legged babes. Available for a steamy session with you right now.
Yeah.
Or you can eavesdrop on a private fantasy where no one will know you.
All right. Oh, I need a cigarette now. They're so animated. It's hilarious. We got like 1 minute, dude. Actually, I think we're going to be over. Plus, I got to mix. All right, hold on. Let me, all right, one more. I actually don't know what this one is. Never understood the foot fetish thing, the leg fetish, whatever.
Thank you for calling the Guest Relations Hotline. If your call is regarding the Internet Survey, please press 1 now. For all other matters, please press 2. Thank you for calling.
Please hold.
Now, the winning ticket...
Hello, you have reached the Guest Relations Hotline at 800-98-DINER, which is 983-4637.
Got that, everybody?
The hotline is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to...
What'd you say?
Got that, everybody?
Yeah. 98-DINER? Is that what the fuck that is? What is that? Is that Diner's Club card?
Did you get that off a receipt?
Maybe. I don't know. I actually don't know where I got that one. 98, let me see, 983, let's see, that's, yeah, D, yeah. Yeah, it spells Diner. Don't know what that is. Yeah, it must be Diner's Club. That was lame. All right, one more, what the hell? I'm hooked. Okay.
Thank you for calling JTEC Communications, world leader in on-premises wireless messaging. You have reached us outside of our normal business hours.
Damn.
8:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Oh! That number is for, where did I get that? I got that at a restaurant. I got it off the base station of, I think I got it off one of the pagers, you know, of their little, you know, in-restaurant paging systems.
The little jiggly coaster thing?
Yeah, exactly. It light up.
Yeah.
Jiggly coaster thing. That's very technical. The number is 800-321-6221. There's actually a good thread on Stinks Forums about those things, man. Those things rock. I really would like to explore those. That's enough phone calls, Ryan. Actually, we're over. Bland, thank you very much for being on the show.
Hey, no problem.
That's a very good show. And thanks to Michelle. Big shouts to her. Maybe we can... I forgot. Stinks into... Well, anyways. This is Duel.
And this is Bland.
Forgive my ranting, but we're not going to stop. We're going to give you technology, and we're going to talk about important issues. And I want everybody to be there for it. Later.